Hello and welcome. My name is Kelly Plater.
And I'm Ashley Andrew.
And we are coming to you to represent the Advancing Women in Leadership group here at Concordia. It is our great honor and privilege today to be interviewing Megan Boslow, who is our Vice President of Student Affairs, our Dean of Students, and our Title IX Coordinator. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're so excited to have you here. So can you tell us more about your role here at Concordia?
Thank you so much for having me. It is a privilege to be here. I am serving as VP for Student Affairs. So what goes into Student Affairs includes housing and residence life, which also includes the Living Learning Communities, where we have several of our faculty members running the show there. We have counseling and health services, veteran affairs, conduct and student policies, Title IX and equity grievances, as well as student activities and student leadership, career services, academic advising, retention and persistence, disability services, ACC, which is our assessment and care committee, and our brand new outdoor recreation program and CU Active, and then also orientation and the peer advising program and some of our diversity, equity, inclusion programming. So those are some of the things that go into student affairs, and that's the job I've stepped into here at Concordia.
Wow, you have a lot of things on your plate.
Thanks for sharing that, Megan. As the Advancing Women in Leadership group, we, of course, are interested in the leadership walk of our employees here at Concordia. What is your preferred leadership style or perhaps a leadership experience that has helped advance your leadership walk?
I will tell you that my preferred leadership style is to see this first as a ministry. I think I struggled in my life with a sense of calling. And the one thing I had that was really clear when I was 18 years old was a calling into ministry. And then I had gone into college and changed my major 8 different times and left college feeling completely lost and confused. And the one thing I had known was in my life, I'd been called into ministry. And then my life from there went on to a really strong sense of calling after, I would say it was about 5 or 6 years of kind of wandering in the wilderness from that 18-year-old moment on to maybe around age 24 maybe, where I started having a sense of calling into a counseling ministry. But that merged then completely into a ministry of student affairs and administration. And I've always loved college ministry. And so it was an amazing way to feel like I could use both people skills, relational skills, as well as strategic thinking and implementation, which is great to me. So I have my main way of looking at this type of work is that it's a ministry first. It's not mine, it's God's. So everything I got, all the resources of the university and all of our students and all of our staff and faculty, they are God's first, and we all answer to him first. So we work for his purpose and his plan. And that gives me a chance to release the things that I'm otherwise holding on to too tightly. And then the other thing that's really key to me is everything we're doing, does it serve students well? And could we serve students better? So if I can start with those questions, it gives me a great deal of clarity as to whether or not we are getting students, if they start here, can they finish here? Have we done everything we can to serve them well and get them to the finish line, which is their degree? And did we introduce them to Christ along the way and give them a chance to grow in their relationship with him if that's what they choose to do? So other than that, my philosophy is very relational. I always want room for new ideas. Some of my very favorite conversations are when I get a chance to do a lot of idea swapping with students or staff and faculty. What else could we do? How could we dream bigger? And then how can we develop all of our staff, faculty, and students into their strengths and calling?
Thank you for sharing that. I definitely love that you share dream big and being collaborative. And I always, like you said, enjoy helping students find their calling. So that's really great. So what are your goals or vision for your role here at Concordia?
Well, it's been a crazy year to step into this position. A lot of the work that we've been doing this year has been to see what we can do amidst a pandemic. And I know everyone feels that. It's just strange to me to come into a job in a pandemic because we moved from Oregon to California, and that was a significant move. All of our family and friends and people we knew were back in Oregon. And so to come here was, it's a tremendous blessing, and I just love it. I absolutely love it here. I love the school. I love the beaches. I love all kinds of things about this area. Met so many wonderful people, but trying to dream while being continually pulled back into managing a university through a pandemic has been quite a challenge. We're making it happen, and I'm excited about what we've been able to pull off, but I'm also itching right now to get to the next place. Everyone is. I'm itching to get to the big plans about what we're going to do with student amenities. So we have ideas of how do we create the best community gathering spaces on campus, places where students will gather to, you know, great seating areas and fire pits and a great game room and the right kind of lighting for all the night activity that students have. So one thing to note, I have been living on campus this year. That was not planned, but that is how it worked out. So we are, my family and I, my husband and my two kids, I have a 9-year-old and 13-year-old, and our dog Jingle Bell, are all living in the upper quad apartments right now. And it's been, though unexpected, a real blessing for me to watch the rhythm of campus in a different way than I would have ever been able to had I lived off campus. So I can see what the life of a student looks like at night and what we need in order to facilitate that. And how do we help students live their life so much more, be able to really enjoy the outdoors of this area, including the outdoors of this campus. So those are some of the things I have in mind when I think about amenities. How do we make sure they're able to gather together well and build community? Because loneliness is fairly intolerable to most of us, and particularly in the college age when you're new, if you're moving into the residence halls, and if you're a commuter, it's also intolerable. Your dreams of who you would be connected with and these lifelong friends and connections you would make get pretty discouraging if you can't find that. So anyway, a lot of my dreams have to do with making sure students are really well connected with, I'd like to get students all connected into small groups from the get-go. If possible, work with Christ College on life groups and Bible studies and mission service trips, that kind of thing. And then in general, I want to be a part of increasing our retention and graduation rates. I'm a huge believer in if you started here, you need to finish here. And so if there's anything we can do to make that happen, sure, let me know.
Since you are relatively new to our Concordia Irvine family, can you tell us a few more things that we might not know about you? So maybe, for example, a hobby or a hidden talent you have?
A hidden talent. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I work a ton, which is what I love, what I do. Because I do this in ministry, I work a ton and my family gets a lot of the rest of my time. But what we love to do together is explore. And that's been super fun to be in a new place. Every weekend we are off trying to find the next thing. So I'm always really open to suggestions if people say, oh, you should see this, because we've gotten to know this area almost entirely off of recommendations from other people. So we've loved the beaches. We've gone to as many places as we can, and we're going to try and get, we are big fans of national parks. So now we have access to a couple new national parks that we did not have before, whether that's Yosemite or Joshua Tree. And so we're still, we're making all of our various plans to see these things, but always open. If someone says you should go check out this restaurant or this place or anything. So if you have any, make sure to let me know. The other thing besides that, that's kind of interesting about me, I guess, is I have an identical twin and her name is Amy. And so if she's ever visiting me, it's likely going to throw a lot of people off. We always have to worry about when I enter her world and when she enters my world, we really confuse a lot of people and offend people on the other's behalf. So I've gone to many, many stores where someone comes up to me and says, Amy, I thought you're not even saying hi to me. And I'll say, I am Megan. I am Amy's twin sister. So we're used to offending on each other's behalf. But if you see my sister, we have a lot of great stories too. If you ever see her on campus, then if she doesn't make eye contact with you, it might be that my twin is visiting. You never know.
I love that. It's like the parent trap.
It is.
You were saying you've gotten to explore the area. Did you climb French Hill, which is one of our covenants?
I did finally climb French Hill. At first, we only made it halfway up because we were not prepared. It's actually a steeper climb than I thought. We have climbed French Hill. In fact, we climbed up there at Christmas time to see if we could see all the lights, you know, get the cheap seats of all the lights that were going on over at Strawberry Farms. But we got a very distant view of it. But we love being able to get up there when we can.
I love it so much. So could you also tell us about a favorite book you have?
All right. So books. I love many books, and it's always hard for me to choose favorites. So I'm going to tell you about a couple of books that are on my high list. An author I love is Chaim Potok, and that's, I don't know how many people really have read or heard of him by this point, but he wrote books like The Promise and The Chosen, My Name is Asher Lev and The Gift of Asher Lev. And they are stories of Orthodox Jewish families that live in New York at a time often right after World War II. And their adjustment, or right before, actually, both. And the adjustment, it's families that are so devoted to their faith and their culture and their lifestyle. And there's always somebody who is trying to see how they belong in it. And I'm interested always in stories where someone is rewriting the script of an otherwise strict cultural norm. So anyway, those books are absolutely fascinating. I just love them. And then I'm actually reading a book right now called The Praying Life, and it is so inspiring. I've needed that. There's so many things to pray for right now that I get overwhelmed. My brain gets too busy. And this book makes it feel less like my brain is failing me on the prayer level and more like God just loves us and wants to spend time with us. But it's a lot more sophisticated than that, than what I just said, but it's really inspiring. So that's been a great book at the moment. I have many other, I'm a big fan of a really great fiction book. I think it gives my brain a break from what is otherwise always calculating strategies. So I love a good piece of fiction to help me take a break.
Absolutely. I think we all do. That's for sure. Megan, if you could give your younger self some advice, what would it be?
I would say, be clear on who you answer to, because it's very easy to try to get into the trap of pleasing everybody. You don't want to ever step on toes, because the people that are in our lives are put there, in my mind, they're put there by God, and we need to respect and treat everyone well. But I also don't answer to everyone. And I think I would like my younger self to know, just keep on track of knowing who you answer to, because it just gets so convoluted when you're trying to answer to everybody. So I have used in my counseling days an illustration of who's in your jury box. In your brain, you have a sense of all the people that you believe are passing judgment on you. And a lot of us need to consciously take some people out of that jury box. So people that are, we look to try and please them and answer to them, and it actually convolutes our path. And then we have people who are really great that are in the jury box, people that also clearly know who they answer to, and they are good people to have in your life make sure iron sharpens iron, right? So that we make sure that we have good mentors in our life and good people who will give us great feedback. But then there's other people who are a little more dysfunctional, and they probably need to be taken out. So that would be some of what I would tell my younger self.
Thank you. It's wise advice. We all could use that. All right. So my last question is, describe one pivotal time in your pre-COVID life, either personal or professional, that changed the way you approach work-life balance.
Well, a biggie, and I know this is true for many women, but not all women, but for me, it was having kids. So I was an associate dean at the time that I had my first child, and was very nervous that people would start to write me off. And I had remembered my boss at the time telling me that some of the administrators at the university had assumed I would not come back. And I was scared of that because I needed that job. I had not had any intention of not coming back, and was a little shocked to hear that, because obviously people rarely would say that to men. And so I found that I had an incredibly supportive boss who let me be the parent I needed to be while also being the worker that I needed to be. And so to me, being able to watch, how do I do this well, so that I can help other women in my life who go through this, do this well. And so being able to take what are the best work hours for someone in student affairs, a lot of our hours are you won't have any trouble filling up night hours because students live a night life. So being able to say, could I come in later here so that I can stay later there? Doing a lot more negotiation about what schedule really works to be a parent and a very dedicated student affairs worker was, that was pretty pivotal for me. And since then, I've had the privilege of many times supporting women who go through maternity leave and then the return to work and helping them figure out how to be the very best they've ever been at their work while also trying to learn to parent. It's a very dual life, but it can be done and it can be done really well.
Thank you so much for your time and your candor. It was great hearing more about your role here at Concordia, but also your personal life and your family. So thank you so much for all you've shared with us today.
Thank you so much, Kelly and Ashley, for this time. I love being a part of the women and all of the people at Concordia University Irvine. It's been wonderful to be here.
This has been Concordia University Irvine's Advancing Women Leadership Podcast. Thanks for listening and have a blessed day.